How great is our God. I will not keep quiet, for my God is alive. And those lyrics earlier just spoke so strongly to me. And I am here in front of you today only through his grace. I am saved. I am glorious in his sight. My slate is wiped clean. And I have the Lord to thank for that. I am a new man. My new life has begun. And I get to worship him, and I get to praise him, and I get to speak his name out loud. I will not hide my bushel under a blanket or a rug, I forget the actual term. But I'm here to glorify God because of what he has done in my life. Amen. God has worked incredible works, and we all are aware of those. But for me, God has spoken so clearly to me through Arthur and through Andrew and through the brothers in this church and the congregation and all of you. And your words and your encouragement has transformed my life. And I give glory to God for that. Now, I think you're all aware that, as Andrew has just said, my road or my journey getting saved it's been a recent change in my life, and you're all aware of that. And as Andrew said, Claire and I arrived as two, and we shall leave as one. And in my journey, I think what comes through quite strongly is I know a lot of us feel that we have people in our lives, we have relatives, we have people who are close to us, who have not been saved, they have not been spoken to, their hearts have not been softened, and we desperately wish for their salvation. And so often we pray daily. I know Claire and I pray for my two children. We pray for salvation, we pray for God's light, his hand on them, and there are times that we feel that maybe if those prayers are being answered, maybe it's not in our time. And we talk about things happening in God's time and waiting on God. And I want to give you a word of encouragement this morning. Those people we pray for daily, I am those people. I am those people. And I stand here and I speak to you today because the prayers of God's people have worked. Those prayers have worked for me, and I am saved, and I am glorious in his sight because of those prayers. Don't ever give up. Don't ever, ever lose hope. And although it might seem that the people who we love are not changing, won't see the light, the people who we love might be fighting against us and fighting against God's word, keep praying. Please keep praying. Because miracles happen today, even in 2024. Ezekiel 11, verses 19 to 20 reads, "And I will give them one heart, and a new spirit I will put within them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my rules and obey them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God." God has softened my heart. I want to speak this morning with an idea around a particular scripture that means a lot to me. And it's Philippians 1, verses 6. I think we all know it. "And I am sure of this, that he who began a work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." Amen. And that is the introduction, if you like, to my story and my journey. And today, this morning, I'd like to share with you the journey that I've undertaken, that God has guided me through over all of these years. And I have some scripture, but it's really a story of hope, and it's a story about my life. And I hope that in sharing it, it's something that might resonate with you. So I was raised in the church. My brother and I and my sister, my parents were saved, born again. And we grew up in South Africa, as you know. And I was a very active member of the youth at church. I considered myself born again, although I wasn't really. I was a Christian. And I reached the age of 15. And of course, what comes with the age of 15 but the flesh, Arthur, right? The flesh. And so the flesh came in, and it came in hard. And it wasn't long before I started to divert off the path, the chosen path, the path that God had chosen for me. And I knew better, so off I went. And the story speaks quite significantly about my brother. Now, my brother and I, 2 years younger than me, my brother was a born-again Christian. He walked for God. He lived for God. And he bore witness to my divergence. He bore witness to the road that I chose to take. And he prayed about that. And the fact that I had chosen to abandon God was important in his life. It was something that he prayed about, that he felt very strongly about. But he knew that there's nothing he could do to bring me back to that path. That was always going to be in God's hands. And I mention my brother because later on, his story is one that I would like to share with you. But it is quite it's a tough story to listen to. But within that story, there is hope. My brother decided to become a teacher, and he went to teachers' training college. I, of course, had gone to university, and I'd chosen a different path. He qualified as a teacher, and he was set to start his first post at a school called Howick Prep School, and he was going to begin in January. At the end of that preceding year, with a group of friends, they went away camping, and like some of us, fishermen they were, and so shark fishing. Finished for the morning, put his rod down, dived into the sea, and unfortunately there was a sandbank behind a wave, and he broke his neck. It was a C4 break, and he was paralyzed. He was a quad from that point. He was pulled out of the ocean by his friends. He was resuscitated, airlifted to hospital, and he lived for 6 weeks. So this took place in 1997. And 6 weeks later, on the 1st of January 1998, he'd passed away. That, however, is not what I want to speak to you about. I want to speak to you about his faith and the fact that as he was lying in his hospital bed, paralyzed, he knew God's love. He knew God's love. He knew God had a plan for him. He knew that he was saved, and he knew where he was going. And when he faced those dark hours, when he faced what I saw as an uncertain future, he didn't see it as an uncertain future, because he knew. And he knew that he would be walking with a Savior, and that was imminent. And in that moment, he knew that he was saved. My parents knew he was saved. But you know the one person who did not know he was saved? That was me. And I railed against that. And I fought against God. And I fought against my parents. And I fought against the doctors. And I could not understand, first of all, for a God that I didn't believe in, being an avowed atheist, how could this God take such a passionate young man who was alive for God? He was alive for the Word. He walked in step with God. And yet, he was taken, rudely ripped out, snuffed out, if you like. And if I was questioning of a God, that moment pretty much shut me off entirely from God. And the irony, of course, is that to hate a God, to hate the idea of a God, meant that there had to be some kernel of belief in a God to begin with. And I see the irony of it now when I look back. But at the time, of course, it wasn't there. So that started my journey. And I've spoken to Andrew and Arthur a little bit about this. But, you know, we seek for meaning all the time, don't we? We seek for meaning. Why are we here? What are we doing here? And I speak about looking in the secular world for meaning. looking in the secular world, trying to understand the cosmos, trying to understand creation, trying to understand why we're here, what we are doing here. But it's always in the secular world, and I'm not going to find answers in the secular world, because the secular world has nothing to do with creation, has nothing to do with why we're here. And so, you know, over time, I'll circle back to this. But I then started this journey of seeking, but seeking in the wrong places. And my brother, of course, passed away. I got married, but I wasn't married with God as part of our union. My life was very secular. Yes, I was a teacher, and yes, I did good works, you know. I taught people, I cared for people, I was involved in boarding establishments. I loved people, but I didn't love God, and I didn't know God, and I didn't walk with God. And it didn't matter how many good deeds I did, for he wasn't there in my life. He was not my beacon. He was not my anchor. And over the years, I tried to convince myself that if I did good, then all would be fine. You know, surely how can there be, if there is a God, right? So, of course, I was an atheist, but yeah, I'm saying if there is a God and I do good stuff, then he's going to look favorably on me, isn't he? Anyway, so I walked this walk. And then the marriage, as one expects, if God is not in it with you and is not a partnership, in partnership with you, marriage failed. And a couple of years later, I got remarried. And my wife was not a Christian. I, of course, was not a Christian. I was a vowed atheist. And we continued our life. But we did good things. We worked with animals, and we thought we were good people. My wife, Kirsten, and I were desperate to have a child. And I already had two children. Absolute blessings from my first marriage. But we were desperate to have a child of our own. And we tried and we tried. And we had failed pregnancy after failed pregnancy. And they were heartbreaking. And they were difficult to handle. And we couldn't understand why this was happening. But those failed pregnancies, there's no May in this, is there? Those failed pregnancies happened for a reason. A couple of years later, she went for some blood tests, and the hormone levels were highly elevated. Nothing wrong with her. There wasn't any sort of symptoms, if you like, but the blood tests were of concern. And upon further investigation, this was as a result of the failed pregnancy, she was diagnosed with something called trophoblastic disease, which is a cancer, and it starts off in the uterus, and around about an 80% success rate with early detection and chemo and radiation. And so we embarked on that road of chemo, radiation, etc. And the levels dropped significantly, but the one thing that was always of concern is they were never ever completely obliterated. Those HCG levels were always there, and that was always a reminder that the cancer was not completely eradicated. We didn't get to actual remission. And my wife decided that she wasn't going to go through any more chemo or any more radiation. She was simply going to live the life that she had been given. And over that time, she was saved. She found the Lord, and she started walking with the Lord, and she started to live a life for the glory of God. I, of course, was nowhere near that. I was, well, okay, fine, you do your thing. So I used to drop her at church on a Sunday, and I'd go fly fishing down in the harbor, and I'd fetch her afterwards, and we would never talk about what was discussed at church. She chose to walk that road, and of course I was still bitter, wasn't I? I had my brother, she's got cancer, how can there be a God when all of these terrible things are happening? I'm suffering, we're suffering. And I couldn't understand this. I couldn't understand how somebody could think of a benevolent, not even benevolent, how could somebody think about a loving, caring God if these things were happening to good people? And she walked her path, and I walked my path. And I think the crux of the matter comes next. I was not a believer, and she was. One morning, she woke up battling to breathe. This was probably 4 years after the last chemo treatment. She had no flu symptoms. It wasn't like she had a respiratory infection. Battling to breathe. And it was a little bit alarming. It almost seemed like asthma. So we took her down to the local hospital, and scans were done. And the cancer had metastasized. It had moved from the uterus and was now in her lungs. And let me just check my time. It was now in her lungs. And even though we sort of knew it was still there from 4 years ago, because we never had reached complete remission, we were surprised and shocked. And so last-ditch effort. I think when mortality faces you, that clearly you do, one does tend to grasp at whatever is available. And so more chemo, more radiation. Can we deal with this at this stage? Unfortunately, the answer to that was no. It moved from the lungs to her brain, and for the last month of her life, she became incapacitated. And I did care for her. I was there for her physically. I was there for her biological needs, etc. However, where I was not there for her was spiritually. And that, I know God has forgiven me. I know that the slate is wiped clean. I know that I am new and I'm glorious in His sight. But I struggle so much with that understanding that I was not there for her in a spiritual way. Yes, her minister came and spoke to her. And yes, she had friends who prayed with her. But I could not pray with my wife or for my wife because I did not believe. And her death was, it was a horrific death. And I got to question God that I didn't believe in again. And my question to God was, why are these good people dying? And I knew I wasn't good. I was a sinner. Yet I was alive and I was healthy. My brother had passed away. My wife had passed. Both were Christians. Both walked with the Lord. Why am I still here? And how do you justify you continuing to live with all of your sin and all of your evil thoughts and deeds, etc., and others are taken? And I battled with that. But also, I think the next 6 months, my wife passed away on the 15th of January, 2021. I went down some pretty dark places those next 6 months. I used various substances in order to cope because it was just too much. And I spoke earlier about standing here in God's light. And the reason I'm standing here in God's light is that God reached out to me. And now that I can look back, I can understand just how He did so. It was a dark time in my life. And one evening, I received a message, and I'd had a couple of drinks that night. I certainly wasn't sort of in any kind of fit state to be communicating with somebody, but that message was from Claire, all the way from Cape Town, and I was 2,000 kilometers away, and it was a simple message saying, "How are you doing? I've been thinking about you." And that dark place. And I can't help but think that when it is the darkest, when it is so dark that you cannot even see a glimmer of light, God shines a light. He shines a light, doesn't He? And that was the light that he shone for me that night. And I still get all sort of goosebumpy about it, but, you know, at age 50 and true love and everything else. But as relationships carry on or develop, we started speaking more, and then we visited each other, etc. And my wife, Claire, knew that I was not saved. She knew that I was an atheist. And that was troubling for her. because Claire's a woman of God, and she had to ask God what to do about the situation, because God does not want us to be unevenly yoked. And she had that on her heart. And God spoke to her and said, He has a plan for Jonathan. And He spoke to her, and she trusted Him and had faith. And we were married 3 months later. Incredible love story, actually. And if you wouldn't mind indulging me for a quick second here. We went to school together. We were in the same grade. And we went to the matric dance, which is like a prom. We went together to the matric dance. We weren't dating or anything. We were friends. But we went together to the matric dance. And our paths obviously separated soon after school. And I got to marry the girl I took to the prom. Isn't that nice? 32 years later. Claire's been an absolute revelation in my life. And she's been a revelation because God has been working through her. In what I do, being a teacher, and more than just a teacher, I'm involved in boarding establishments, and I'm involved in more of a holistic element to education than just teaching in a classroom. Because of that, I spent an awful lot of time in the chapel. And back at the school I was in South Africa, we had chapel 3 times a week. And in the position I occupied, I had to often be the only, apart from the pastor, I was the only adult looking after 600 boys and making sure they behaved themselves in chapel. So I wasn't a churchgoer, but I spent an awful lot of time in the house of the Lord. And this is what is quite crazy. I would have told anybody I was an atheist. I was quite proud to be an atheist. But I started singing the songs because they were really catchy, you know. And I really started enjoying it. I started sort of singing like this a bit, and eventually, I actually just sang out loud. And I thought, why are you singing these songs? I spent years standing in church doing this if I ever found myself in a church, because I didn't want to engage with any of those ideas. And I started singing these songs. And now looking back at it with retrospect, that was God. That was God working through all of these weird and wonderful ways to soften my heart. Through Claire, through my time in chapel, through very important people around me who were men and women of God. And things started to change. Here's the clincher, though. How did we get from South Africa in Bothas Hill to Downham Market Academy, or Downham Market, shall we say? How did I get from being a non-believer in South Africa to finding God in Grace Community Church? How did I get from there to meeting Arthur and Andrew and being saved? How is that even possible? It is possible because of God. And when I step back and I look at all of my years fighting against God, raging against God, He's always been in control. He's always had His hand on me. You know, I couldn't see it because I didn't want to see it. But it was always there. Right. Praise God. Amen. God is so good. I mentioned Philippians 1 verse 6. And I mentioned that particular piece of scripture because over time it's become quite important to me. And when I say over time, over the last 6 weeks, 6 months. Okay. And I'm going to read it again. And I am sure of this, that He who began a work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Now, God began a work in me. He began a work in me back in 1974 when I was born, and probably before that, right? And it took me a long time to realize that He had begun that work in me. The reason I mention this again is my late brother, he was 21 when he passed away. He had a Bible. He cherished this Bible. And my mom has kept my brother's Bible. And recently her Bible started falling apart. And she wasn't able to use her own Bible, which she'd written on over 50 years. And so she took my brother's Bible and started reading my brother's Bible. And she came across the scripture that I've just read to you. And alongside that scripture my brother, at age 18, 19, maybe 20, young man, had written my nickname, which was Dodd, for some unknown reason. He'd written my nickname alongside that scripture. He knew, 30 years ago, that what God had started in me, his brother, God would see through. The trust and belief that that young man had in his God, in my God, in our God, that he can do that, would do that, promises to do that to his brother who had walked away from God, it blows my mind. Absolutely blows my mind. Praise the Lord. At his funeral, I delivered the eulogy, and I wrote what I thought was a wonderful poem about as the sun sets and I am fishing and the line flows, whatever, and the sun is setting and there's silhouettes and whatever. I will think of you, and it breaks my heart to know that I will never see you again. And a number of people came to me after that service and they said, you're wrong about that. You will see your brother again. You will see him in the Lord's house. I said, no, I won't. You guys are crazy. I said, there is no God. There is no heaven. I will never see my brother again. And you know what? Of course, they were right. And of course, once again, I was wrong. I want to end today with a scripture from Isaiah 40, verses 31. And it says, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That is my mother's verse for me. And the reason I wanted to read it, and I know this is very personal, the reason I want to read it is my mother has prayed for me every day for 35 years. And probably for longer. But she has prayed for me since I chose a different path, and she has prayed every single day. And today, I can say, Mom, God listened to your prayers. I am a child of God. I glorify God. I glorify his name and his word, and I glorify him. And it was your prayers and prayers of people who loved me that kept me in his heart. Amen. I hope that my little story is just something that will remind us that God is an incredible God. And when we might start to feel that he's not listening, or we might start to feel that the people we are praying for are never going to find salvation, be saved, God will find them. God is watching them. God's hands are upon them. And I praise the Lord for that. Should we bow our heads? Lord, thank you for saving sinners like me. Lord, thank you for the plan that you have in all of our lives, for all our lives, Lord. Lord, thank you that you never abandon us. Lord, you watch over us, you guide us. Lord, thank you that you are our anchor in the storm. You are our beacon of light on the hill in the darkness, Lord. Lord, your greatness has no bounds. We are humbled before you, Lord, and we praise your name, Lord. Amen.
Just before John sits down, he's going to pray for all of us that are praying for others that we are believing that God's got his hand on. Amen. To encourage us, to enable us to not stop and to keep going. So if you'd pray for us, our families, our loved ones, those that are standing in the gap, believing that God has salvation for our children.
Lord, you know all, Lord. You know our hearts, and you know our fears. You know our desires. Lord, you know those who are close to us, those that we wish to see your light, Lord. Lord, I pray for every single one of us in the congregation today. I pray for the people who are close to their hearts. I pray for relatives. I pray for friends. I pray for people who have not heard your word, not accepted your word and seen your light, Lord. Lord, I pray that you place your hand upon them, Lord. I pray that you show yourself to them, that you reveal your almighty glory, Lord. You reveal your plan for their lives, Lord. Lord, and I pray that you comfort each and every one of us as we pray for those important to us, those who we wish to share the glory of your love and your light and your story, Lord. And Lord, please comfort them. Comfort them with the knowledge that everything is in your hands, Lord. You hold everyone in your hands, Lord, and you have a plan for all of us and all of them, Lord. In your almighty name, Lord. Amen.